Thank you very much. It's great to be here. I'd like to thank the Chamber for making this event necessary, and the affiliates for sponsoring the program today. You know, 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago, when I ran for mayor, I figured I was in politics, and so I wanted to know what that meant. And the word politics is derived from the word poly, meaning many, and ticks, meaning blood-sucking parasite. Family's great in it. I heard my brother a couple years ago after I was elected. He said, talking to a friend of his, and the friend said, he said to his friend, you know, my brother ran 4 years ago for mayor. And his friend said, well, what's he doing now? And Dave said, nothing. He's got elected. we've got some slides here today, and Pam Broomhall is running this for me, and she does a great job. First, we want to look at the budget, and one of the things I wanted to look at is right here. If you look down this line, if I could not hit Brian's head, that shows what our receipts are from non-proprietary interests. And there are two ways that the city gets money. The first one is through your real estate taxes, and that goes into the general fund. And I've got John. I wanted to introduce who is here from the city. Almost blew it. We have two council members, and if there's somebody else I missed, just let me know. We've got Larry Mortimer right back here, and Sandy Pollitt. You've already heard from her. We've got employees here as Pam Broomhall, and most of them are back here, over here. Kathy Mahoney, Gene Ludwig, Mark Buzelow, Barb Barnes, Amy Benson, and John Russell. So I've packed the crowd today, so there'll be a lot of laughs and fun. We want to thank the proprietary. Everything goes into the general fund from the taxes, real estate taxes, and we have proprietary funds that come in from sewer fees, garbage fees. We get some money from intergovernmental agencies like road tax, road use funds. But this just shows the non-proprietary, and if you look down here, there are different categories, and I don't know if you can read it all. But what I wanted to show you down here, and there are a couple years before that I want to talk about. This starts in 2011. Well, 2009, we received $19 million. In 2010, $16 million. 2011, $15 million. Then we're down to 10. We're up to 27, and that's an odd year because we're showing right down here $12 million, and those are bonds and debts. So we're bonding. And that's money that came in on a bond, but that's borrowing money, so we owe that money back. And then here, I believe, and the $5 million there is, several million of that is from the airport money we got. Now, I may be wrong, but so that shot it up to 27, but now we're back down in 2014 to an estimated $11 million income on our general fund. So what's that tell you? That tells you we're losing money over the past number of years. And one of the places it comes from is intergovernmental, and I can't see it from here, but intergovernmental money's coming in, and that means state, federal, and whatever. And so you can see that we're not getting nearly as much money, and I think everybody realizes that. But the one thing I'm proud of, and I think the council should be, and everybody involved with the city, is that we have not cut services, and we have not cut staff. So we have been doing a great job. If you want to go to the next slide. You want to make that smaller so nobody can read it? Okay, this is from the Dubuque Telegraph Herald a couple days ago. Says a projected budget shortfall led city officials to institute a hiring freeze, contemplate canceling dozens of improvement projects. City officials have projected a 2014 shortfall of more than $1.43 million. For the city's operating fund, as well as a deficit of $1.47 million in its capital improvement fund. So, you know, we're doing pretty good if you compare us with other cities. I know when the newer, he's been there a couple years, Jim Freneau from Burlington's the city manager up there, he basically said when he took over that Burlington was functionally bankrupt. They had had a lot of problems, and they were mixing monies and putting monies where they shouldn't have been. And so he's doing a good job of turning that around. But you can see that I'm quite proud of the city and what we're doing, what we're able to do. And we've just passed our budget. We did have, and you look here, it talks about capital improvements. That's buying things like police cars and equipment for the fire department and machinery for the street department. So those are capital improvements. And we've been able the last 2 years to expend a lot of money on some capital improvements. Police cars. You don't want your police running to a call and having to call a taxi because their car broke down. And those, anybody know how often those cars get driven? How many days a week? Seven? How many hours a day? 24. So you're talking a lot of mileage, and so we need to get new cars every couple of years. We were able to do that this year, and there are a lot of other things in the budget. Now, some of the money for, like, the street department, that comes from some of the road use funds and some other amounts. We also get money from the hotel motel. A lot of that goes some of that goes to tourism, some goes to Main Street, some goes to the Arts Center. So that's divvied up. So there are other forms of income that we have that we do divvy up in the budget. And one of the things we're able to do is we've budgeted $50,000, and I know Joyce will be, she is happy, I hope, about that, because they're looking, the Main Street is, for $500,000, is it? Up to $500,000 in facade grants for Main Street. And I had a couple of pictures for that, but I decided not to show those because I didn't want to embarrass anybody who owns a property on Main Street. And somebody said, boy, our town doesn't look so good. Well, yeah, it does. I started out on Main Street, coming off Boulevard, and I drove down Main and tried to be as independent thinking as somebody coming into town to look at the city. And you know, we're not an ugly city. We see our faults as citizens, and we know what the problems are. But I've talked to several people. People say to me, Larry Cruzy, one of the former Board of Supervisors a few years ago, said, you know, you knock your city, or a lot of your residents think the city isn't. He says, when I come in off that bridge or when I come in from the north, he said, it's very appealing city, especially coming off the bridge. You've got the gateway there with the flowers and everything. And so people from other places see it differently than we do. But I challenge you to drive down Main. Yeah, we got some problems, but this facade grant, these grants, will hopefully cure a lot of those problems and make Keokuk even more appealing. And that's very important because we try to get people to move here. We try to get businesses, recruit businesses here. And that's what they're looking at is a quality of life. They're looking at schools. They're looking at hospital. They're looking at streets. And we have a lot of room to go with our streets, and I know that. And I don't mean to make excuses, but our sewer separation really cuts into that. So I'm not going to get much further on that sewer separation because we're living with it and we're doing it, and we should be cleaning up our sewer system. And I'll get into that in a little bit. We do have some construction projects. You want to flip me over? This is Anschutz Hill area. That's going down. If you're right over here, you're going down to the Yacht Club down here. So this is not right up at the Rand Park slide, but we're working there. We're working on the road. That didn't get done this construction year, this last construction year. We feel that it's going to be done midsummer. You can go on to the next one. This is the hillside there on Rand Park. Keep going. That's the hillside coming up to the park from down at the Yacht Club area, Anschutz Hill. Go ahead. This is now, we've moved on to another project, and this is going to be a little slower. This is 2nd Street, and I grew up there at 2nd and Morgan. And up here would be Morgan Street as going up this way, and it turns into Fulton Street. I hope everybody knows where that is. This collapse presented a problem and still does because the property down here is not owned by the city. So the Rand Park slide, that's owned by the city, and so we can get reimbursed. A lot of times we'll get money from FEMA, which is the Federal Emergency Management Corporation. And what they do is they reimburse us, and a lot of times a percentage, 80-20, you know, a percentage of what we have to, what is expended. This is interesting on Rand Park because it's not being done by FEMA. Originally we thought they were going to do it, but it's being done by the Department of Transportation because this is the Great River Road. And so it's an 80-20 split. And I'm, as I recall, it's about a $6 million project. Is that right, Mark? Don't give me that 1,000-yard stare again. No, that's okay. Yeah, it's about, what, $6 million?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, we have to match 20% of that. But that's, you know, that's one of our show places of Keokuk, and we're going to make that right. Why is it taking so long? Because we want to do it right. We don't want to do it twice or three times. When we first started it, we had some problems where we started doing the work and it slid again. And there's water coming out from the rocks themselves. So what we've done is we've had experts in here, and they've looked it over. And we think we figured out, well, we know we figured out what we're going to do and what it needs to be done. It's going to be a little steeper slope. And then down, why don't you go, can you go back a couple? Right there, stop. One more down, forward. Yeah, that's it. Right in here, and we're going to go a little past 17th Street. If you know, there's a retaining wall, as you first come into Rand Park and down towards, heading towards the Yacht Club on the Riverside Road. There's a wall there, and it's hooked into the hillside by cables. We're going to continue that wall because it stops right a little before where the slide was. And we're going to put a new wall in there, an extended wall. And we originally were going to run it down to 17th Street, and we chatted and thought maybe we'd do a little farther because that's where the slope really starts. So we're going to go a little farther than that. I think we're spending $50,000 more or something like that to make sure that's done. Again, because we want to do it right. This is one of our charming aspects of Keokuk. I have people, and I know you do too, come out and they say, my God, that's a beautiful view. That's spectacular. You see the curve in the river. And so we're really working hard to make sure this is right. So again, midsummer. Can you go back to 2nd Street? Now, 2nd Street presents a problem. This is 2nd Street also, and that's one of the pipes that just broke. It's a sewage pipe, storm sewer, and it just broke off when the hell slid. That property's not owned by the city. It's owned by a utility, and maybe some of it's the railroad. So we don't get reimbursed by FEMA. And so to slip $2, $3 million in there, that all come out of our pocket. And you saw, you know, our budget is tight, and we're trying to make do. So what we're planning on doing as a stopgap is running two drain pipes down there and let it kind of settle and continue to slide as much as it is. Then we'll put some dirt in there, do some dirt work, and try to take care of that problem. The road won't be fixed for a while, so it'll be a future project, but we do have plans to do something with that and try to fix that up. One thing I forgot to mention about the Rand Park area is once we get it sloped as we want it, we're going to use these prairie grasses, natural grass. We've got a grant that we will use, and they're granting, and we've got some money involved. But depending on how much we need, we'll invest in the rest. It's a deep root system, and we'll hopefully, and it's been successful, keep the hillside where it is. Okay, if you want to go another one. This is, does anybody recognize what that is? Besides the hole in the ground, that's 9th Street. And one of our problems with the Grand Avenue, and, you know, that was a real disappointment for a lot of people, me included, is that this took so long. Not the hole itself, but drilling from that hole into the hillside to take the stormwater down the hillside. And the drilling crew came in, and they had some problems, and they bent and broke or whatever their drills. They said they ran into rock. And so this held up the whole project so that we didn't get it done this year. But I'll guarantee you that this will be completed next construction, this next full construction. And if not, Mark's going to come kick me in the knee. But no, we this is a priority that we really have got to get this done. I mean, that's been unfair for the people on Grand Avenue. It's really difficult for the people on the far side, the riverside, because they don't have an alley to park in like the other side. So, you know, we're going to work really hard to make sure this is done, and we're working with the contractor, and we're cracking the whip. Okay, why don't you go to the next one? That's Grand Avenue, and you can see we've really got some work to do. But it should be a splendid, beautiful street when we finish. And that's what our project was because, again, we talk quality of life. We want people to come to Keokuk. And these are things, where do you tell people to go if somebody says, hey, where do I go in Keokuk to see something? Down Grand Avenue is one of the first places you tell them. And so that's what we're trying to do, and it's been long overdue, and we're working hard on that one. Okay, keep on trucking. Okay, this is Victory Park. And we're doing the sewer separation on Victory Park right now. let me get my own. Now I've become an expert on sewers. Doesn't that sound great? Right, hold it. Okay, what we've got here is, this is the city of Keokuk, as you can see, and we have these different basins where we have the sewer, and of course the sewer, the sanitation, sanitary and the storm are all hooked in together. That's how they originally built it. One of the problems is, right down in here, we've got a 30-inch pipe, and when the storm water and the sewer water comes in, it's not big enough, so there's an overflow. What happens with that overflow? It comes right out here, just above the Southside Boat Club. And so we're polluting the river. So what we're trying to do, or what we're doing, and we've already done this Storm Creek sewer project, and what we're doing is we're taking the storm water and we're running it other places. And you know that we're doing it at 9th Street, so we're running it down the hill to 9th Street that way. And we'll do here on Rand Park, which is going to be a project here in the future, not too long. We're going to be boring, because we don't want to tear up Rand Park, because for one thing, you're going to have to go so deep trenching it, and another thing is we'd hate to find any bones or pottery, because when I talk to the crews, I say, if you find bones, just hide them quickly. I'm not kidding. If you find something like that, that'll slow you down and stop your project. So, I got a dog that loves bones. So what we're trying to do is take the storm water off in different areas and keep it, you know, separated so that the sewer will empty down here to our sewage treatment plant. So I hope that kind of gives you a little idea of what we're doing and what the project consists of. Thanks, Brian. A little something extra in your paycheck this week. Larry Dagg's 1969 pocket calendar. Okay. We're also working on a second phase of safe routes to school, and we've got the first one almost done. People think it's done, but I'm not happy with it. It wasn't done properly. You may have noticed that we had to have the contractor redo some of the handicapped sloped areas because they were not sloped properly, and the Department of Transportation, the state's involved in this. We're getting state money for this, so we do have a second safe routes to school, and it's going to be run from Middle Road, where we've basically got from the high school down to Hawthorne. It's going to be from Middle Road out to Grand Avenue. And we do these things because we're looking at where the students walk and where there is not a sidewalk. This will be done. It's going to take 40 working days to do this. So as soon as they start, we're going to try to hustle that through. And again, I said we have some problems with the other one. And if you know, specifically down by right across from the high school, there's a gap in the sidewalk and the curb, and not properly done. So that's we're going to get that taken care of, because I get tired of coming home every night and seeing tall weeds and grasses growing out of that. So I'm bound and determined that's going to be taken care of. So the safe routes to school, I think we got $136,000 from the state to fund that, and we're going to do a little bit of additional funding ourselves. So I think that's very important for the kids. Again, quality of life. Okay, the depot. Let me talk about the depot, and that's near and dear to my heart because my wife's chairman of the depot commission, so I hear about it every other day. They're working very hard, and I'm very proud of what has been done. That was one of the first things I wanted to do when I became mayor, is to procure the depot. We got it for $1. And if you look at the roof, of course, that's the main problem right now. And what we've done is we've got some estimates of what it's going to cost to put the roof back to its original condition. It was a tile roof, the red tile, orangish red tile. As a matter of fact, when I was we were looking at it before we procured it, on the far end, there was a sliding door, and it wasn't secured. And I was down there, and I was looking around. There were council people, I believe, and some other people. And I looked in there, and there were these interesting-looking things that were kind of like this, and they were a clay or a ceramic or whatever. And I said to Steve Salani, who was down there with me, I said, what are these? And they are corners to the roof, the original corners. And so then and there, even though we didn't own the depot, I threw those in my car. because I didn't want those to disappear. Those were something that was very important. I knew we were going to get the depot, but call me a thief, but I'm trying to save some of the history in Keokuk. Some people might disagree, but so we're very proud, and I think the commission has raised over $100,000. If you haven't been there, get there. They're doing some concerts, weddings. I know Debbie went down two thirty, 3 o'clock on Sunday to show it to prospective brides who wanted to perhaps have their wedding reception down there, and even the wedding. They also do high school reunions, and we've had a great response because people are given money. They see that, they know that, they've lived here, and several of the classes that have had reunions have donated really nice sums. So that's one of the big projects we're trying to do. The riverfront is very important. We've got other ideas down there for the riverfront, and we'll see whether they come to fruition, but that's something that we really need to cherish and hold on to. Let's talk about economic development. I've found out in 4 years that economic development takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And I've also learned during my term and even before that you don't count your chickens until they start building the plant. The problem is, you can talk and you can think, man, this is going to happen, but you got to wait. But I am very optimistic about some of the projects we have, and I know I've talked about these in the past few years. I don't know if you know Dr. Ravi. He purchased the old Security State Bank. That's how old I am. Wes Ames owned it. It was the last owner before Ravi bought it. He's got a project. He is getting, as we speak this week, is my understanding, they're going to have equipment brought in. It's going to be laboratory-type equipment. They're doing testing to test their product and see how they go from there. So Ravi's been working on this for quite some time. If you haven't met him, he's, as I told my wife when we went to meet him one time, we had a little reception out here, I said he's the tall Indian. So she's looking all over for the tall guy from India. Ravi's about this tall. So she kind of cursed me later on, but Ravi's very intelligent. If you get an opportunity, talk to him. Welcome him to Keokuk. He's been here for quite some time, but that's one of the things we need to do for economic development. Be friendly. And I went to law school out east, and I'll tell you what, there's a huge difference between the Keokuks of the United States and the East Coast, because we are so friendly, and they are very cold. They don't trust people. I would hate to live there. That's why I came back to Keokuk. It's my home. And I've had a friend from New York came out to visit, and he just absolutely amazed. For one thing, he said, "Do you know everybody in town?" I said, "Thank God, no." But we are welcoming, and we need to do that for people coming in, and whether they're looking just to move here or move back here, because we have a lot of people that are coming back, grew up here, and now they're retiring and they're coming back. So be friendly. We also, Ravi is also working on with the hospital to use some of their unused space for some project out there, which would be beneficial to both himself and the hospital, and the hospital is surviving, and I feel it's going to continue to survive. I'm on the board, and that's one of the reasons I'm on the board, is so that I have more information about it, because I know we, as the city council, gave them $100,000. So did the county. And this is to keep this hospital here, because we need the hospital. It is an essential function. The employees, when I talk with people, whether it's the governor or I talk to Tom Vilsack out at Agriculture, because they have USDA monies, I always mention that it's job retention, too, and that's part of economic development. You don't just think, boy, we really need to get businesses here. We do, but we also need to retain the businesses we have, and so we work very hard at that. We also have a new company called No Moss. And it's No Mosquitoes, basically, I think, what the original title was. That's why it's No Moss. What they've done is, though, they've got this process. And when the guy first came in to see me, he had the spray, and he sprayed it on his hand, and he licked it, and he said, "See, there are no problems with that. It's all natural." He says, "It's not going to hurt you." And they've just been tested, I believe, at Iowa State University, and it's been tested very positive, almost 100% for bed bugs. And my understanding is that the hospital, or excuse me, the hotels are having terrible times with bed bugs. And so this could be a big development here that we could really use here in Keokuk. They also works on ticks and other insects. So this could be something big here. And again, don't count them until you see them. But we're excited about that. We also have, I've had some interest from a gentleman who wants to buy some city property, city-owned property, which would be great because we make money when we sell it. We also make money because it goes back on the tax rolls. And this is property down on South 7th Street. It's property we use. We take some film materials and things from there, but love to get it back on the tax roll. This gentleman would invest some big time in some infrastructure here in Keokuk, and I continue to work with him. He's been out of the country for a while, but he's already invested in some hospitality business in Fort Madison, and he's looking here in Keokuk. So we'll see what happens with that. Hopefully that can happen. We're also, I'm on KEDC as an ex officio member. That's one of the things the mayor gets to do. He's on the chamber as an ex officio member. And so, you know, we want to keep these clowns in the loop and knowing what we're doing. And so with KEDC, they came to the city council at budget time, and they asked to for $50,000. And one of the things they're planning on doing is upgrading and really making things happen with KEDC. They want to do a connection with Lee County. And I know Lee County Economic Development just invested quite a bit of money in a web page. And that's where you're looking. People look for places to build the Internet. They look for where I'm going to go with my business. They look at the Internet. And so that's very important to have that out there in the current age. So if we can tie everything in, right now there are people walk into the chamber and say, hey, I'm thinking about, you know, business here, what kind of property you got? And you know, they don't have that information right there. And they come into the city, and they come to KEDC members and things. So what we want to do is get KEDC, we want to get the city, we want to get the chamber all hooked up with Lee County Economic Development's webpage. And you can go from the Lee County Economic Development, it'll direct you to these other pages so that everybody knows what's going on. There are times when people come in, and I know Steve Bassanius is here. He works with, they had somebody come in on a Friday and they needed an answer, some information about sites by Saturday. They jumped together, but it would be so much easier if we had all those contacts and able to, but they were very good about jumping into it, and the next day they got the information, and I believe there are two sites, that one in Fort Madison, one in Keokuk, that are still being considered. So that's something we really need to do, is get everybody together on the same page. I wanted to talk about the Unitarian Church. Some people say I'm anti-history, but I sure don't think so. And if you look at the church right here, there's going to be problems with that roof. Snow's been sitting on it. It's leaking. You can go inside. This has been three and a half years ago I went in there. And you can see the sky, of course. There are puddles in the sanctuary. Love to save it. You can see that right here, it's fallen off in the back. So unless somebody wants to invest $5 million in fixing this church, and I talk about $5 million, think about it, that'd be half of the city's receipts we talked about earlier, $10 million from the non-proprietary funds. So is somebody going to come in? Anybody here want to raise their hand and say, I want to put $5 million in that building? And I drove down from High Street the other day, down looking at the front of it, and it is beautiful. It's got some great brickwork. It's nice, but there are bricks falling off of it. And so I think it's in the city and the citizens' best interests that come down before it falls down on some kid playing on the sidewalk or a car going by or a house next door. Stone me if you want to, but if you look, they've got a rose window in the back, and you see they've supported it now. There are things you can salvage in that building, and that'll save you the cost, some of the costs of rehabbing. Okay, go to the next one. Yep, see, there's another shot of it. This is the building next door. So, all right, next one, if you may. Okay, franchise fee. We're talking about a franchise fee, and I'll go over here. What the franchise fee is, we have a local options tax, 1% local options tax, and when that is collected, it goes to Des Moines. You may have heard this before because I've been spouting this. It goes to Des Moines, divided by the cities in Lee County. Fort Madison gets more than we do because they have a population that's higher than we are, but we're a bigger population because they count all the prisoners, 900-plus prisoners, at the Fort Madison Penitentiary as part of the Fort Madison population when they do the census. To me, that's baloney because, as I recall, there weren't a whole lot of prisoners out there shopping and doing retail shopping in Fort Madison. We have higher retail receipts in Keokuk than any other city in the county. The franchise fee only applies to your utilities, gas, and electric, and it replaces the local option tax. And this is what I want to get across, because it does not add on to that local option tax. The local option tax, the 1%, disappears on the utilities, and only the franchise fee is collected. So if we do a 1% franchise fee, no difference. Nobody pays more. It's exactly the same. So if you have an opportunity to have somebody say, oh, I don't want a franchise fee, tell them what it is. It benefits all, because all that money stays in Keokuk. And that's going to be, we can project that at $325,000 a year. Now, we would get some of that with a local option tax, but a higher proportion is going to stay here in Keokuk. It's no-brainer. We're going to do it. I see Fort Madison's now talking about it. There are over 40 cities now doing it. It just keeps coming. Takes a vote of the city council. Citizens object. They can file a petition, and there has to be a referendum, a citywide referendum. What happened in Burlington was they got greedy, and they passed a 3% franchise fee. So they raised a couple percents, and the people said absolutely not. They had an election. They voted it down. What we're looking at is a 1% franchise fee that will replace the local option. So from my standpoint, from the council standpoint, it's something we need to do. Next slide. Okay. At this time, I have said the other day that I am prepared to sue Lee County if I have to, because I do not want, and I don't think it's right, that the county offices be consolidated. The chairman of the Lee County Economic Lee County Board of Supervisors, I've been with him a couple times recently, and that's all he talks about, consolidation in one place. And I haven't choked him out yet because there's no lawyer in town who could represent me as well as I could do myself, so I really can't do that. But in any event, I am prepared and we're prepared. I'm dealing with a Des Moines law firm, and we'll see what happens. I don't think the Lee County citizens need the extra expense. That we're told, and you saw it in a paper maybe last night, Gary Folio indicated, and the funny thing was Ernie Scheller indicated that there's going to be this meeting March 25th about Lee County offices. The situation is that he says, I don't think we need to bring the budget up because that'll just confuse matter. We need to know what money is being saved, if money's being saved by having the two and two right now because they said it was going to, or four up there and nothing down here. So Folio says he hasn't seen those savings. And Ernie Scheller says to me, oh, they're there. Well, show me. Don't talk about it. So I want to see if they can prove to me that we're really a big burden, then let's talk about something. But the one thing I do want is the driver's license station, and it's the most ridiculous thing in the world that we can't have 1 or 2 days down here a week. So that's something that we're working on. I would like to thank and tell you that all these city employees, the city council members, they do a great job. You think about your streets when they're being plowed at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're asleep, and would you like to be out there? No. But it's getting done, and they do it as best they can, and they do a darn good job. I do not like to hear people talk about our street department or any other department in the city. We have great department heads. We have great employees. We have great employees here today. We work hard every day, and the council takes it upon themselves for very little remuneration to spend a lot of time working. Do you want to go in several Saturdays in January to start working on figuring out the budget, figuring out who or who doesn't get money? So I just want to praise them and say what a great job they do. And I know we were talking about some questions. If anybody has questions, I'll be glad to answer them. Boy, am I good. Okay, thanks very much. Oh, Chuck.
Any progress on city administration?
Right now, we're talking about it. It's something that I think, when I first ran, I wasn't excited about it. And the reason was because we had hired John Russell, sitting over here, who is our finance director, does a great job. We didn't have one when we first hired the first city administrator. We didn't have we had an interim city clerk. We've now got Barb Barnes is sitting right over here with John, next to John, one space away. And she's the clerk, full-time clerk. She also is my secretary. She doubles down. She does a great job. But that's why when I ran, I thought with my experience in the legal field and other areas, I thought we had a pretty good team in place. And this, in the next few years, I am not planning on running again. So in 2 years, there'll be another mayor's race. I hope by that time we have a city administrator in place. I deal with Byron Smith in Fort Madison and Jim Freneau in Burlington. They do a good job. We just have to get somebody who has the background in finance, has the background in running certain city departments so that they can come in and do a great job. And if that happens, I would anticipate, at least recommend, that the mayor's job kind of change and you don't pay him as much, he or she, excuse me. And they are running the city administrator run the day-to-day operations, but the mayor'd have a big input because he or she is an elected official, okay? He's responsible to the people. So if you had a city administrator who is a hired individual and he's not responsible to the citizens, he's just hired, then, you know, I want him answering to the mayor and the council, of course. But yeah, I don't anticipate it happening for another year or so, but we're working on it and thinking about it. Anything else? Jim.
I did an update on Amjet. I'll get there.
Yeah. Amjet, Paul Roos, he has got, I don't know why I'm using that, he's got some investors from Missouri he's dealing with. He's excited about certain things. I talked to Steve Bessenius yesterday, and things are working out for him. It's always a money issue, and he's working very diligently on getting the money. And I've been involved for 4 years with Paul. He's a great guy. He's very intelligent. He doesn't have all the skills, the marketing, and certain things that ultimately is going to be needed. But if he just gets over this one hump of some private funding, he's got state monies behind him to match, and he'll really get the big machine built and go. And once he does that, I think it's full speed ahead.